Dungeons & Dragons blew up on YouTube a little while after the 5th edition of the game released. It finally had rules that encouraged a more casual way to play, and everyone rushed to YouTube to watch and subscribe to the creators explaining the game and sharing their stories. But as time went on, I noticed that a lot of my favorite YouTubers started making major content changes away from what they were known for. Plenty dropped the ball entirely when they had nothing more to talk about. Big controversies caused people to boycott the game, which hurt views across the board. Short-form content became way more popular, and it all culminated into a hard pill that me, as a D&D creator, had to swallow at the end of all of this. Now, the people that absolutely blew up and held the entire D&D YouTube scene on their shoulders for the first couple of years were the animators. Puffin Forest, Dingo Doodles, and Joecat were all animators who made videos about the game for a few years at the peak of its lifetime. They all jumped in at the same time that animated stuff like From the Odd Ones Out and Jaded Animations were at their peak, mostly focusing on either telling stories about the adventures they used to go on in their D&D games, or explaining how the game worked in a funny, engaging way. If you knew how to draw things on your computer, then you were guaranteed to get views back then, just because your stuff was seen as high quality and original and like nothing else on the platform. The problem is that animation is a very volatile side of YouTube now. Animation, even just the PowerPoint presentation style stuff, like half of everything on my channel, takes forever to finish. And as YouTube continued to push creators to obsess over watch time and upload frequency, every animator, whether it was these three or beyond, also felt it. You gotta hit 8 minutes if you actually want to make money on ads, and every day you take to upload has the platform notifying less and less regular viewers. For Puffin Forest, he had an actual job, and animating had always been a side thing for him. Would hate to be someone who put all their eggs in the YouTube animator scene just to be homeless when the views died down, so props to him. One day, his upload schedule slowed way down, and animations were now mostly replaced with long-form podcast-style videos. Those mostly just talking about D&D games, or other games entirely. Dingo Doodle still animates, but she's been a one-woman army on that front for so many years that I'm sure it's been taking its toll. A lot of the content on her channel now are also podcasts, and between the newest animated video to the one right before was a 5-month delay. Was it a great video? Yeah, obviously. But would I, Blaine Simple, be fine taking 5 months animating something to pay my rent just for it to make like $300 in ad revenue? Probably not. Joecat still animates here and there, but once he was done with his D&D series animating all the different classes you can play in the game, he bounced over to covering other things instead. You can see the animator struggle from Joecat the Best, who, even with his massive fanbase, financial struggles still forced him just a few weeks back to open up emergency art commissions to scrape by. D&D is still covered on the channel, but rather than the animated stuff, it's multi-hour long recordings of his D&D games. For all three, animation was a lot of work, and to keep viewers fed, they moved to super long-form content, which only gets like 10% of the usual viewership. Podcasts and live D&D recordings are the main videos on these channels now, having a pulse, but not impacting the community in the same scene-shattering ways they did before. So yeah, the animation community on YouTube got railed specifically hard by YouTube's changes, and it sucks to see how creators of all sizes who were dabbling in the scene had to pivot if they wanted to stay relevant. Here's the double-edged sword, though, because YouTube Shorts popped up a few years back to contest against TikTok's rise in fame, and short-form content became all the rage. Quick, witty D&D animations became huge, and creators like Legends of Adventurous and Theater of the Unaligned popped up to fill the niche, uploading high-quality animations about D&D games. They're quick, punchy, and super colorful, so it plays really well with the shorts format. The sucky part there is that if animators were already feeling like YouTube was squeezing them out of their niche, then it was gonna be a profitless wasteland on YouTube Shorts, where a 3 million view video might only make you a few hundred bucks. And I know a lot of you are probably saying, money shouldn't be the end goal, you should want to do it because you're passionate. Well, unfortunately, if you want a content creator to stick around for the long haul, there's gotta be some type of incentive there, and passion alone will only keep it going for so long. Also, I think we should all want artists to get paid, like, I don't think that's a hot take here at all. And look no further than Theater of the Unaligned running a Kickstarter to pay for a longer animated show, and Legends of Adventurous publishing their own tabletop book to promote on the sidelines. Speaking of writing books, though, book publishers stormed the D&D scene during the peak of the game, since the license allows anyone to show up and write books to sell about it. The two biggest boxers in the ring for a while were Ghostfire Gaming and Hit Point Press. And because these YouTubers were so influential, these book publishers partnered up with them to not only show their D&D books, but also work together to write more of them. The YouTuber RuneSmith helped write this book called Sunken Isles. Boom! $500,000 on Kickstarter. XP2 Level 3 made The Quest Onomicon. Boom! $620,000 on Kickstarter. And Dingo turned her animated stories into a book book that lets you play in the same world yourself. Boom, 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 $2.5 million. Having worked with publishers before, there's a good chance the creators themselves got a good 20% of that. So even though the YouTube numbers were down in a lot of areas of the community, having a platform that these creators could advertise for free on was big for all these book projects coming out, especially if you were going to get a percentage of the profits. And even if you didn't publish a book, these book companies were hunting down D&D creators to pay them to talk about it. There was so much money being flung around in the space, and creators had every incentive to make as many videos as possible. It's why, for a while, you almost couldn't find a D&D video that wasn't sponsored. About a year ago now, though, something drastic changed. Some publishers that were once foaming at the mouth to sponsor every YouTuber were now way less hasty to bite. Where did everyone go? Ooh, what a mystery. One big publisher in the scene told me last year that it wasn't profitable for them to sponsor creators as often. Some were asking for a lot of cash up front, and people aren't buying enough of the products from the sponsor segments to make it worth it. And you know what? I've seen what some of these creators are charging and the types of viewership they tend to get. I've tried to sponsor people before, and I can see that. The biggest issue is probably that the most common sponsorship style is being paid a flat rate regardless of how your video performs. Even if it absolutely bombs, they still have to pay up. For the lucky few creators who have a very stable amount of viewership coming in, it works fine. But for channels whose viewership fluctuates a lot, it's a betting game that less companies want to play. Could you tell me what makes this video less popular than this one? No? Well, neither could I, but whoever sponsored it probably wasn't that happy. It makes complete sense why they wouldn't want to sponsor YouTubers as often, and are just going to Facebook and Pinterest to pay the billion-dollar companies instead. Because the stable creators usually charge more and tend to be booked out way in advance, and nobody wants to throw money gambling on the small fries. But you know, if you have your own projects to sponsor, then you don't need to care about the views you get, because the only person who'll be disappointed is yourself. What's keeping me alive nowadays is my own Patreon, because I might have slowed down on videos, but I'll be posting D&D and Monster Girl stuff every month until the day I die. I'm a publisher full-time now because of how hard it felt to keep up with audience interest, and with how long it takes to research, script, and publish a video, I wouldn't be able to promise sponsors multiple videos to make up for the lack of viewership. And if you noticed a drop in some of your favorite D&D creators' upload schedules, there's a good chance they're also working on book projects of their own, or just waiting for a sponsor to show up so they can make posting a video worth it. If they're publishing, then the part they have to worry about is being stretched too thin, especially if they don't have a team to help them write anything to sell. That's a big reason why it's so hard for me to keep up with my channel nowadays, because I do all the writing for my books myself. And you know what's funny about that? The company who makes D&D tried to change their game license in 2023 so they could start taking money from creators and their products. The one lifeline that made this game worth covering was about to have like half the profits siphoned just like that. Not only did this anger the entire creator community who relied on their products to make posting content worth it, but plenty of normal fans started boycotting the game as well, which ironically still hurt these independent developers because less people playing D&D meant less support for their work. We lost YouTubers who didn't feel comfortable making content about the game anymore. A few publishers pivoted their entire product lines away from the game, and some viewers stopped playing and fell out of the YouTube viewer scene as a whole. Thankfully, the new game license never came into place, but that whole disaster scarred the entire community forever. I guess if you want my advice, don't try to be a D&D YouTuber full-time unless you want to accidentally become a book publisher. And I guess that's a perfect segue into asking you all to check out Silver's Monster Girl Manual using the link down below. Books have all been manufactured and we're about to start shipping out soon, so grab a copy if you don't want to miss out on the first wave. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you all in the next YouTube short or something.